Well, I'm so glad that you've decided to join us as we celebrate the resurrection today. Welcome to the third service. We have had a powerful first two services today. We have seen multiple people today come to faith in Jesus Christ. And today we're going to give you the opportunity to do that as well, if that's you. And today, what I want you to know, before we get to the proclamation of God's word, we want to minister to one another. We see the church as a family. This is our chance to love one another and to lift one another before the Father. So right now, what we want to do is we want to pray for each other. So here's the truth. We've been going through a weird season the last year. It's been totally bizarre. And I know that many of us have not been able to put our lives on pause just because it's been a difficult season. In addition to that, some of us have gotten diagnosed with cancer or we've lost a loved one. Some of us have had financial difficulties. Some of us have had troubles at home or troubles with our kids. Some of us have had broken relationships. Many of us have been dealing with maybe anxiety or depression. Maybe you've had an addiction that you've been fighting, and this last year you felt failure because you've continued to go up against those things. I don't know who you are or what you're going through necessarily, but here's what I do know. God does. And here's what else I know. No matter what you are up against, if Jesus is alive, if that's true, then prayer is not self-talk or a pep talk. Prayer is God talk. That means we get to talk to him, he hears us, and he answers. If Jesus Christ got up out of that grave, prayer is a weapon stronger than anything the world could ever forge against us. And so today, we're going to pray. And I want to just invite you to have courage. If you need prayer for any reason, it doesn't have to be an emergency. We want to pray for you because this is the power of God working in and through our church. So today, here's what we would say. If that's you, and you need prayer today, what I would invite you to do is just to let us know by simply raising your hand. So if you need prayer today, would you just raise your hand and say, yeah, Steve, I need prayer today. Okay, look around church. You see these hands going up? Please just raise them up for just a second. See these hands? If you see a hand up around you, here's what I want to ask you to do. Just reach out your hand towards that person, almost like you're putting a hand on their shoulder. And we're going to pray for them right now. Okay, let's do that. Father God, thank you that Jesus Christ is alive so that we can pray not out of delusion or out of dreaming, but instead, Lord, out of truth, that there is indeed power and that there is indeed something that is real that transpires when we pray. So God, we bring these requests. Father, for my brothers and sisters who are hurting, who are lost, God, for those struggling financially, for those struggling at home, God, for those who feel overwhelmed or anxious, those who feel depressed, those who have an addiction or a stronghold, God, those who feel simply that they cannot go on, Lord, that you would today demonstrate yourself to be real and that, God, you would answer their prayer. And so, Father, I pray, if they're watching online right now, if they haven't already, they would click that button and say, I need prayer. If they're here in this room, and we're praying for them, and they know that they need more help, that they would be courageous to reach out and say, I need more help. God, let us be your people in this moment. And Father, let us reach out in love in your name. God, please answer these prayers, and God, let us have stories to tell of your faithfulness. God, we love you, we thank you, we praise you, and we ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Church, let's just give him a round of applause. Thank him for the goodness that he answers prayer, that he hears us today. Amen and amen. Okay, church, if you have a Bible with you, let me invite you at this time to go ahead, take it out, open it up, head over to John chapter 20. John chapter 20 is where we're going to be today, the Gospel of John. Chapter 20, as you're headed over there, let me just give you a couple of things real quick to hang on to. Number one, in the back of the seat pocket in front of you, you'll see a card that's going to tell you about some of the things coming up here at H&W. So you can actually look up on the screen. That's the way the card looks, so you'll know the card you're looking for. And you'll notice that we are going to be starting next Sunday a brand new sermon series called Own Your Mind Business. Own Your Mind Business. We know that all of us go through seasons where our mind begins to race, we worry, we get stressed out, and things are kind of taking over our thought patterns, and we're not really living the way that God wants us to, and we're not leaning into that. And so I want you to know that next week we're going to start talking about how you can take back the thoughts in your mind, what the scripture says about that, and in addition to that, how you can live the life that God has designed you to live. So If that's of interest to you, you should be here. Now take that card. This is what I'd like to ask you to do. Take that card, and if you would, give it to somebody else this week and invite them to come back with you or to join you online and to be part of that, because we think this word is really powerful and important for so many folks right now as we go through this particular season. So you'll also notice right after that, we're then going to go through a short series entitled She. We're going to talk about the role of women in the church according to the New Testament, and we're excited about that. It's going to be a lot of fun as we really lift up and exalt the women who are part of our congregation and blessed to have the opportunity to do that as well. So those are the next two sermon series. You'll see some other dates on the back of that card, and excited to get to do that. All right, next. I know it's Easter Sunday. A lot of folks are back for the first time in a year. It's been great talking to you guys, saying, wow, we're back. We're excited to be back. Thank you. We're glad that you're here. Others of you, it may be your very first time to ever come to Houston Northwest, and we're glad that you're here too. Here's what we would like to ask you to do. If you're new with us today, just to let us know that you're here. We're not going to spam you. We're not going to overwhelm you. We just want to answer your questions that you may have about the church and just help you kind of take that next step, whatever it may be. So there's a couple of ways that you can let us know you're here. Number one, you'll notice a QR code on the back of some of those chairs. You can just scan that with your camera on your phone, and it'll take you to a card you can fill out, or you can actually just go to the website, hnw.org/Sunday, and there's a link to the card there. That would be great if you could let us know. If you're joining us online right now, they're going to put a link to that card that'll be there in the chat, and you can just click on that, and then you can let us know that you're joining us online. We don't care if you're here in the room or joining us online. We just want to know who it is that's part of our congregation so that we can help you take that next step of faith. So this is going to be a lot of fun as things are getting back to normal around here. We're excited about you joining us next week. It's going to be a lot of fun. All right. Now, I'm going to pray for us. We're going to jump into the proclamation of God's word, and we're going to have a great time today. Let me pray for us. Father God, we thank you today that we have the opportunity to hear from you, Lord, to receive your goodness, and Father, to honestly not just hear, but to respond. God, so many times we come to church and we hear a sermon or we sing, and then we just move on as if life has no reason to change. But Lord, today we know you want to do something. And so, Father God, I pray that for those of us who have been believers our entire lives, that today, God, you show us something fresh and new, and we're ready to act on it. And God, for those who are not yet believers, that today they would hear something so new, so fresh, they would say, maybe it's time for me today. Maybe it's time. God, we pray that you work through my words and not be about Steve, but it be about Jesus. And Father, I pray that as I speak, I would just lift Jesus high so that today he would be known. I pray this, God, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. John 20, starting in verse 1. Now, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." So Peter went out with the other disciple, and they were going toward the tomb. Both of them were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. And stooping to look in, he saw the linen cloths lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. He saw the linen cloths lying there and the face cloth which had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes. This is the word of the Lord. Any of you guys ever go down the Bigfoot rabbit hole on the internet? You ever do that? Yeah, I mean, it's kind of funny, right? You get on there, you start looking, and you see these videos. Is this video real? Is this video fake? And there's a lot of hot sports opinions out there about Bigfoot. I mean, I don't know if you know that, but people are very concerned about Bigfoot, whether he really exists, whether he doesn't exist. Or what about UFOs? I mean, we got the Area 51 thing. You guys go down the rabbit hole on the UFOs. I mean, I'm not the first person to say this, but 2020 was so bananas that the Pentagon basically said, yeah, there are UFOs, and we were like, yeah, okay, whatever. We just kind of moved on. I mean, that's how messed up this last year was, right? And then I saw this headline this last week that there are now robots that are, they call them living robots because they have memory and they can repair themselves. So we're just getting ready for our robot overlords, right? You know, I mean, all kinds of weird stuff that you find on the internet. Now, here's the thing about that. You read about Bigfoot, you read about UFOs, the living memory robots or whatever. It really doesn't affect your life much. You say, okay, well, I believe in that thing or I don't believe in that thing. But typically, after that's over, after you've read that headline, that story, you might have a friendly debate with your friends. You might laugh about it or joke about it. You may send a couple of text messages. But at the end of the day, you're kind of like, okay, we're moving on. It's not that big of a thing. But today, I want to talk about the resurrection of Jesus. And here's why I mention those things. I think that the resurrection of Jesus sometimes gets thrown into the internet curiosity pile. Oh, you know, well, I mean, maybe Jesus was somebody who came back from the dead, maybe not. What's the difference? Who cares? Today, what I want you to know is it makes an enormous difference. And I want you to understand why it makes an enormous difference. And what I want you to also understand is that if this thing that I'm going to talk about today is true, then we've got some deciding to do. So I mention all of this because I think in our world, seeing is believing. And this passage, John 20, uses the Greek word for see or saw or seeing over and over and over. In fact, verses 1, 5, 6, 8, 12, 14, and 18 uses the word see. But because this is Greek and not English, they have different words for seeing, which actually have sort of some subtly different meanings, meanings which we sometimes will kind of run by or miss because in English we just have one word for this thing. So I want to talk about that today and talk about how it makes a massive difference. So the first thing that I want to talk about is the idea that the disciples and Mary here saw something that was like an observation. The first thing that they did and the first thing that I would challenge us to do today is to observe the evidence. Observe the evidence. If we look in verse 1 and verse 5, we see Mary, she observes, she sees that the tomb is rolled away, that the stone has rolled away. And then Peter and the other disciple, probably John, show up in verse 5, and then they see the linen cloths. The Greek word there is the Greek word blepe, which just means to observe. It's like scientific observation. They see these things, they observe them, and then they have to decide what it is that those things mean. Aside from God becoming flesh in the person of Jesus Christ, the resurrection is perhaps the most incredible thing that Christians believe. And we say that it's incredible because it's not a metaphor. It's not a symbol, but it is literally the idea that Jesus' body was cold and dead, and then his heart started to beat again, he started to breathe again, and then raised up, and then moved a stone that no man could move by himself, and came out of the tomb. Now, if this is true, these observable facts may matter a great deal more than a Bigfoot video. So I don't have time today to go into a full-throated defense of the resurrection, but I do today want to just give a few facts that are indisputable regarding the resurrection. Number one, the tomb was absolutely empty. Even the enemies of the day, the Roman government, for example, agreed that the tomb was empty. Now, some people said that people came and stole the body. But nevertheless, everyone agrees in the ancient sources that the tomb was absolutely empty. There is no historical disputing that fact. Number two fact, women are the one who discovered the empty tomb. Now you say, well, why does that matter? In the ancient world, women were not considered to be reliable witnesses. Sorry, ladies. But here's the truth, they weren't. And because of that, it makes no sense for the gospel writers, not just John, but Matthew, Mark, and Luke as well, to say that women are the one who discovered the empty tomb if they were making it up. Because if you were making up a story, you would want it to be as credible as possible in your particular culture. And so you would say men discovered the tomb was empty. But they didn't do that. Why didn't they do that? They didn't do that because of the fact that they knew that this was literally what had happened, that women discovered that the tomb was empty. Next fact. Hundreds, not a few, hundreds of people saw Jesus resurrected after his burial. Hundreds. I love this quote from a book by Peter Williams that's called Can We Trust the Gospels? Just listen to this. The resurrected Jesus is recorded as appearing in Judea, Galilee, in town and in the countryside, indoors and outdoors, in the morning and in the evening, by prior appointment and without prior appointment, close and distant, on a hill, by a lake, to groups of men and groups of women, to individuals and groups of 500, sitting, standing, walking, eating, and always talking. Many are explicitly close-up encounters involving conversations. It is hard to imagine this pattern of appearances in the Gospels and early Christian letters without there having been multiple individuals who claimed to have seen Jesus risen from the dead. Hundreds of people are recorded in ancient documents to have seen Jesus alive. That's an observable fact. Last observable fact I'll share today. There are others, but just these four. The last one. The apostles clearly believed they saw Jesus alive. Here's what I mean when I say that. The apostles, uneducated fishermen, 3 days earlier had turned tail and run and hid because Jesus, who they believed to be the Messiah, was crucified. And after he was crucified, they were so scared that they were next that they went and ran and hid. What would be the only logical explanation for those men suddenly to willingly leave their families, to go to the countries that were furthest in their imagination away, and to tell every person that they possibly could find Jesus is the Messiah? In fact, these cowardly fishermen became so convinced that tradition says that every single one of them met a violent death of martyrdom. What would move you to do that? I can only come up with one reasonable explanation. They thought they saw Jesus alive and resurrected. That's the only reasonable explanation. So now, these are our observations, these observable facts. Now, as I've already mentioned, the internet's a wild place, and we see these different things, and the question is, what do we do with that? Now, what if I just stood up here today and I said, hey guys, did you know that a pug dog can actually scream like a human if you try to cut its nails? You would say, that's ridiculous. Pug dogs don't scream. They bark. They howl, but they don't scream. But then what if I said to you, well, really? You don't believe me? Take a look at this video. Let's just turn our eyes to the screen here. Here we go. All right, what are you going to do about that now, huh? See, you just 30 seconds ago, you said, there's no way that pug dogs scream like a person. And then I showed you a video on the internet, and you went, I guess they do, right? Just like that, your mind changed. Here's the point. When we observe certain facts, we then must enter into a period of theorizing. And interestingly enough, that's the next word that's used for sight here in this passage. In verse 6, we move from a period of observing the evidence to now, next, number 2, where we must consider the possibilities. You see, when Peter comes into the tomb, the word there in verse 6, he's moved from observing. The new word there for see, that's translated as see in verse 6, is the Greek word theoreo. It's where we get our word for theorize. So Peter comes in. He sees that the stone has rolled away. He sees now that the tomb is empty. Did you notice? I love the detail, like in verse 7 or 8, somewhere in there, where it says that the linen cloth was folded up. Like, you know, Jesus' mama raised him right. He's not going to leave the tomb a mess, right? He got up. He said, but before I leave here, I'm going to fold all this, fold my laundry, set it there to the side. And Peter sees all this. He theoreos now. And he says, what does this mean? What does this mean that I have seen these things? And so now I would say that today we have to do the same thing. If I have told you that the tomb was empty, If I have told you that it would have been an interesting fact for women to discover the tomb and for ancient gospel writers to relay that fact, if ancient sources tell us that hundreds of people saw him face to face, right? If we see these things, and if we know that the apostles were willing on pain of death to leave their families and say that Jesus was the resurrected Messiah, those observable facts, you now, I think, if you're any reasonable person, have to move from a period of observation to now theorizing. What does this mean? Now, over the years, people have made all kinds of theories. I'm going to tell you what I think are the four most likely theories that I believe are not true, but here they are. Number one, Jesus was a con artist. Jesus is a con artist. He tells everybody he's the Son of God. They believe him, and somehow he fakes his death. Now, he had to fake it so well that the crowd believed he was dead, and the apostles believed he was dead, and not only that, the Roman soldiers believed he was dead, and not only that, he had to lay in the tomb for 3 days. That's a pretty convincing fake death, right? But that's an option, maybe. Number two, here's another possible theory. Jesus is a dark arts magician. Right? He somehow cast a spell over everyone. I hear y'all giggling, but I'm just trying to give you the theories. He cast a spell over everyone and somehow is able to do some sort of black magic that leads to this. All right? Maybe. Number three, everybody had a group hallucination. You know, there was something wacky that was in the fish and bread that day, and everybody thought they saw Jesus, came back to life. Hundreds of people in dozens of different settings across 40 days thought they saw Jesus but didn't. That's another theory, right? The last theory, his disciples are liars, right? And they went from being these scared fishermen hiding, and they went and told everyone and were willing to get killed, but they were just big liars. They would rather die than be embarrassed. Those are your four likely theories. But what if those options are not real? If you listen to those theories, you go, well, those theories seem pretty lame. They don't really hold any water. I can only come up with one other theory that makes sense of the facts that I've just given you. Jesus is who he said he was. Jesus Christ is God in flesh. Jesus is indeed the chosen one, the king. Jesus did indeed usher in a new way to live. And Jesus did indeed rise from the dead. And that means that we can have hope that one day we will rise as well. You see, if you get new facts, I think it's a sign of maturity that you're willing to change your mind. So many people today, for so many different reasons, in so many different venues, they make up their mind, and then no matter what new evidence they get, they dig in their heels. They say, you can't move me, you can't budge me. And I would say, sadly, this has happened with a lot of folks with respect to their opinion regarding Jesus. They decided 20 years ago, I don't believe in God, I don't believe in Jesus. And now you're hearing new facts, and you're feeling a little pressure. Oh, no. Whenever I was a kid, I hated guacamole, like hated it. I didn't even have to try it because look at it. Like it's like green slime. Who would put that in your mouth? Like that is nasty, right? Who would ever do that? Now guys, I don't know if you know this, but if you live in Texas, there's a lot of peer pressure to like guacamole. I mean, people are like all the time, hey, you like this guacamole? Oh, the best guacamole, woo, guacamole. And I spent so many years growing up avoiding it. And then finally at some point, I don't know when it was, probably to impress a girl, I put some on a chip and put it in my mouth just hoping that I wouldn't vomit in front of everyone, right? And guys, I gotta tell you something. Guacamole is amazing. Like, whoa. And I had an immediate guacamole conversion. However many years ago that was, 20, 30 years ago, whenever that was, I mean, I took my first bite and I went, the green slime is glorious. Now, I could have been so prideful whenever I took my first bite of guacamole that I would dig in my heels and live the rest of my life pretending that I still hated it. I could have done that. And you know what? People would never have known. It would have been just fine. Nobody ever would have known that I'd changed my mind on that particular position. But I would have missed out on some glorious stuff over the years. When you get new information, you change your mind. That's what mature people do. If you're not growing and changing, you're dead. I'm not the same person I was 20 years ago. You're not the same person you were 20 years ago. Some of you weren't even alive 20 years ago. You are learning and receiving new information, and you ought to respond accordingly. Theorize in accordance with the facts. And if today you're willing to change your mind and say, you know what? I guess pug dogs can scream whenever they get their nails cut. And I guess I can change my mind on guacamole. I would just challenge you to carry the same logical view over to the resurrection. Maybe today it's time for you to say, Jesus maybe did come back to life. And if he did, theorize accordingly. But here is the challenge. If you truly theorize, the most likely logical reason for what transpired was that Jesus did indeed come back to life, you must now do the same thing that the disciple John and Peter did, and then Mary later in the chapter. If you look in verse 8, the other disciple who outran Peter, right, got there first. Is that like the kind way of saying that Peter was out of shape? I'm not totally sure, right? But the other disciple gets there first. And then what? It says in verse 8, he saw and believed. Now that word for he saw, that's not blepe, that's not observe, that's not theoreo, theorize. That is a Greek word for seeing that means essentially he understood, or I love this one, he beheld. We don't do a lot of beholding, do we? You know what beholding means? You see the majesty of an idea or of a person, and you stand in awe. And this is the logical progression that Peter and that John go through. They blepe, they observe, they theorize, and then they behold. Guess what? Mary Magdalene, if we were to do a study of the back half of chapter 20, has the same progression. She blepe, she observes, she theorizes, and then she beholds. John is using those words on purpose, and we may not see them in English, but he is trying to say, I want you to observe, theorize, and then behold. Behold. And if we do that, there comes a moment where we will move next to beholding the King. If we move from observing and theorizing to now beholding, something magnificent and beautiful happens, and that is this, that we can now truly see Jesus for who he is. If I realize that the most logical explanation for the facts that I have seen is that Jesus was indeed the Son of God and that Jesus did indeed come back from the dead, I have no choice now but to be logically consistent and believe that he is the Son of God, and I must behold him as King and live in light of that beholding moment. I have to. I have to do that. And you say, well, what difference does it make? Well, the first thing it does is that Jesus resurrected gives you right standing with God. On Friday, we celebrated Good Friday, and we had the cross here, bloodstained, and we focused on the sacrifice Jesus made at the cross, and it was a powerful, glorious service. And over the years, many people have thought that the full gospel is this: Jesus died on the cross for my sins. That is a true statement, but it is not the complete gospel. The complete gospel has another section. And if we read in Romans chapter 4, verse 25, we get another wrinkle. We read in Romans 4, verse 25, he was delivered up for our transgressions. In other words, he was handed over to the cross for our transgressions. And then the next thing, but he was raised for our justification. Do you know what the word justification means? It means right standing before God. We do not stand before God as one accepted and clean until Jesus Christ walks out of that tomb. Before then, has the sacrifice been paid? Yes, but we are still under a curse of sorts until he walks out of that tomb and then says, death no longer has dominion here. I've got my old barn jacket on today. So let's pretend that this barn jacket represents my old life. Okay? So this is the life I'm not proud of. Some things have happened to me. I've kind of got some shame over here. Maybe I've done some things, got some more shame packed over here, some sin in the inside pockets, things I'm not real proud of. The Bible says that when Jesus Christ dies on the cross, he takes away my sin and my shame. So he takes off this jacket. And that's beautiful, but it's not just that. You see, the Bible then also says that he clothes me with his righteousness. And so he then puts a new life on me. He puts a new being on me. The Bible says I'm now clothed in his righteousness. That means that I am now received by God as perfect. And that means that God's righteousness is on me. And get this, it's even in me. The Spirit of the living God, the same Spirit that raised the cold, dead body of Jesus from the grave, is now in me. So it's not just that I have right standing with God. Get this, you guys. It's not just that I have right standing with God. It's now that I have the power to overcome my sin. I want you to hear this. Many of us are here today and we live lives of defeat because we miss this part. We miss this part. We're like, yeah, God took my shame and my sin at the cross, but we miss the power of the resurrection. Why did Jesus walk out of that tomb? He did that. This is what Jesus said. He came up out of the tomb. He was about to ascend into heaven, and he told his disciples, hey, guys, hang in town a few days. I got a little something for you. And he gave them the Holy Spirit. He put his Spirit in the church so that you would not have to live a life of doubt or live a life of shame, but instead so that you could live a life of power and freedom. Sin no longer gets to run your life because the Spirit of the living God is in you. Many of us are living our lives in one of two reactions. Number one, there are these things that have kind of controlled us. Power, sex, money, admiration, whatever it is. We've got those things over here, and they've been holding on to us. But if I've got the righteousness of God on me and the Spirit of God in me, I can say I don't have to live from those anymore. And some of us are operating from a place of woundedness. Abuse happened to me. Someone left me or hurt me. I had a terrible relationship with my parents or whatever happened, and we've been operating from a position of spiritual immaturity, emotional insecurity because of these things that happened to us. So we've either done things or things have happened to us or both, and we're living out of that. But the resurrection means you don't have to live out of your sin and you don't have to live out of your shame because you've got this new thing on you and in you, and guess what it does? It changes your heart. It changes your heart. I don't love the same things I used to love because God's changed my heart. John Owen, the famous Puritan preacher, said this, be killing sin or sin will be killing you. And you think, well, I can't kill my sin. You can't, but the Spirit of God in you can. And if you live and walk with him, he can change you and set you free. If you just walk with him day by day by day by day, and you can live the life of freedom that God has designed you to experience. You can now have purpose in life. You can have flourishing. You can have these things because God has revealed himself to be worthy of it. William Blake, the famous British poet, said this, we become what we behold. And if you behold Jesus as King, you will be transformed as the Spirit of God is in you and on you and begins to work. Today, hear this truth. Jesus Christ resurrected gives you hope. You don't have to place your faith in the United States of America as ultimate because Jesus is ultimate. One day America will be gone, but Jesus will reign on. You don't have to place your faith in your family as ultimate. Your family may be amazing, but they are not Jesus Christ. You don't have to place your faith in your achievements as ultimate. You don't have to place your faith in anything as ultimate. You can rest and know this. Even if they tell me I'm going to die of cancer, I can still have hope. Even if one day things are terrible and they come to persecute me, it doesn't matter. I can still have hope. Even if I get fired, even if things come against me, I can still have hope. Why? Because if Jesus got up out of that grave, the Bible says this, God will raise me from the dead too. And I may die here, but they can't kill me because one day I'll be resurrected in glory with Christ. That's why we have hope. That's why Christians celebrate Easter. That's why N.T. Wright says it ought to be champagne for breakfast for a week at Easter. Because we ought to be so fired up, they can't take away our joy. Because we have a living hope in Jesus Christ. Yeah, we can clap for that. That's good. But here's the caveat. The resurrection only takes effect for those who place their faith in Jesus. If you don't place your faith in Jesus, the scripture is clear that you will spend an eternity in death, separated from God. Now, you were designed to spend eternity in his presence, unmediated, completely in union with Christ. That's how you were designed. But you can say no to him, and he will let you have that separation from him. Now, do you want the hope that you'll be resurrected from the dead one day? Do you want the power to live free of sin today? Do you want the hope to be able to not be worried about death or what tomorrow holds, that no matter what comes, God is with you? Do you want that kind of hope and joy and freedom? If the answer is yes, then you have to trust in Jesus, because you can't get it through a time management seminar. You can only get it through the gospel. So today we come to this moment of decision, where we must decide what we'll do. Will we decide, you know, Steve, great sermon, but no way. I'm walking out of here. And that's your prerogative. But if what you have heard today has challenged your perception, you need to say yes to him. You need to move from just observing. Don't be a casual observer. Don't just be an internet theorizer. But be someone who beholds him as king. At the end of John chapter 20, John uses the word for sight one more time. He says, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." In verse 29. And this is what he's trying to tell you. John knew that there would be people 2,000 years later who would not be able to see the empty tomb physically. And they would need someone to report it, as I have done to you. And they would have to make a decision what they would do about it today. I can't show you the same thing that they saw, but you have to now decide. Have you seen it enough to believe? I said this on Friday, and I'm going to say it again today. My friend Nick Burleson put it so beautifully. Many people have pushed back against coming to God because they have believed that God is out to get them. Hear me today. God is not out to get you. God is out to get you home. He wants you to be with him. He wants to welcome you into the family. He wants you to be here with him. But he will not force you. You've got to decide. Have you seen enough to believe? And if you have, I would challenge you today. Behold him as king. Let him rescue you from your sin and give your life to him today. Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to pray. And I'm going to give everybody here a moment to decide how they want to respond to what they've heard. So would you just bow your heads with me? And we'll decide how to respond to the things that we've just heard. Here's what I'm going to do. Number one, if you're somebody here today, you're already a believer in Jesus and you've just heard about the resurrection, you've said, I need to live a life more completely and fully in light of the resurrection after what I've heard today. I want to pray for you. Would you just raise your hand up and say, yep, that's me. Okay, lots of folks raising their hands. That's good. All right. I'm going to pray for them. Lord Jesus, I pray today that these who've heard the resurrection story and heard it in its power would live a life of freedom for which you have designed them. And they would move towards that today. And now I want to pray for another group. If you're here today and you say, you know what? I have never placed my faith in Jesus, but today for the first time, Steve, I've heard it, I get it, and I'm ready to say yes to him. I'm ready to stop holding him at an arm's distance, and I'm ready to give my life to him. It's a huge decision. Biggest decision you'll ever make. Bigger than marriage, bigger than buying your house. Bigger than your career, biggest decision you'll ever make right now. And some of us today need to say yes to that. If that's you today and you're ready to say yes to Jesus, I want to pray for you. Would you just raise your hand and say, yep, that's me. It's time for me to say yes to Jesus today. Raise up your hand. Okay. Who else? All right. Anybody else? Lord Jesus, for those who've raised their hands today, we pray this. God, that you would bring them into fellowship with you, that they would say yes to you, and God, that they would experience the power and the rescue of your deliverance through your Spirit. God, I pray that today they would receive it and that they would follow. Lord, we love you. We thank you for all of these things that you give, and we pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen and amen. If just now you raise your hand, you said, yeah, it's time for me to follow Jesus, this is what we want to ask. Just let us know. There's a couple of different ways you can let us know. There'll be a number up on the screen. You can text in the words "know Jesus" or really just any words there. We'll get back with you. Those are real people on the other end of that. They're gonna text you back. You can do that. Or you can just scan that QR code, fill it out that way, whatever you need to do. But we would say, let us know. And this is why. We want to give you a Bible reading plan. We want to talk to you and answer any questions you might have. If you have yet to be baptized, we want to baptize you, we'll talk to you about that. We would love it if you would just let us know. So please don't leave here today without texting in and saying, yep, Steve, it's time for me today. I'm ready to follow in after him. All right, church, before we move on today, I just want to say this. It's been a pleasure to be with you to preach the gospel today, to hear the good news proclaimed. We've been able to do these things because of your continued generosity. We've been helping families through the freeze. We've been helping families because they've been financially affected by the pandemic. We've continued to minister to families and to kids in the community. We've started ESL classes. All of those things have happened because of your generosity. And we would just very frankly today say we need your generosity. Continue on as we do ministry here in the community, and we would ask if you would please, if you're able to give today. You can give in a few different ways. You can give, number one, by downloading the church app, H&W Church. You can give that way, or you can give by going online, hnw.org/give, or you can give by just dropping your gift in one of the boxes by the exits on your way out. We don't care how you choose to give. We just appreciate that you would do so. We need those gifts to continue doing ministry here.
Hey guys, thank you so much for listening to this week's sermon here at Houston Northwest Church. Our vision is to make Houston more like heaven by helping Houstonians like me and you become more like Jesus. Now, if you have any questions about following Jesus or you made a decision today to give your life to him, please let us know. Text KNOWJESUS to 281-946-6500. Connect with us throughout the week at hnw.org. And again, thanks for listening. Enjoy the rest of your day, and we cannot wait to see you again next time. Peace.